Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up on the show today, some really disturbing videos. And I don't think I get disturbed very easy, but we've been talking about consistently on the show really these inexplicable acts of violence being committed by youth. Violence that appears to be happening for no other reason than they went out and decided to hurt someone that day. And there is a horrendous local example of that that happened to a gas station attendant, a female in Normandy Park, who was attacked and brutally beaten for no reason by a group of young men who came in, I guess, to steal things, but as you'll see from the video that we'll show you coming up, I don't see the necessity to beat the hell out of her in the process. There's also a horrifying story out of Vegas that, again, is in keeping with that theme and us needing to figure out as a nation what is happening with young people in this country. Also coming up on the show today, the unbelievable gaslighting that continues to go on regarding the widespread drug contamination on public transportation. You will not believe who is actually pushing back against some of the denials that we're hearing from government. Also, a veteran's story about how he is struggling financially amid all these increased taxes, including the prices at the pump, perfectly illustrates why it is so important that we get to the bottom of what is true when it comes to increased costs for Washingtonians. Also later on, Trump disagrees with Ron DeSantis in a very public way on Florida's abortion law. That and much, much more coming up. But first, if you have not become an Undivided subscriber already, please do so. Help support our mission and our movement to give common sense a comeback. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com. All right, before we get into our opening segment today, I want to warn you that the video is graphic. And the video is pretty hard to watch in both of the stories that we're going to talk about related to youth violence. But it's so incredibly important to show you this video, to show you the callousness, the callous disregard for human life that these young people have, seemingly in greater numbers, with higher consistency. I feel like we're seeing these stories out there. And I don't know if it's just that the media is now finally covering more of it or catching on to what's happening or more of this happens to be caught on video. But, you know, I have my, before I even show you the video, I have my social media feed set up in a way that is very news heavy, news focused. So, and that's because that's my job, right? Is I follow people and like pages that talk about the news and what's going on, because that's the easiest way sometimes for me to see stories that I might not have seen otherwise. And so I'm very, very used to video related to crime populating my timeline. But in these two cases, these are videos that stopped me in my tracks over the weekend. Because even for someone who soaks in this stuff, it's bad. And it's unlike anything I've ever seen when it comes to violence being perpetrated by youth. The first example I'm going to show you is actually a local example, and it happened in Normandy Park. So there's a gas station attendant, a woman, who is working her shift when this horde of young men come in and start to ransack the place. And one of them begins to beat her senselessly, kicking her, punching her. And again, we're going to roll the video for those of you who are watching, but I do want to warn you that it is really disturbing to watch. Nicole, go ahead. So you see, they're going for the cigarettes, they're going for medicine, basically anything that they can grab. There's at least five, if not six of them that I see in the video. It seems like there was six, according to police. And one of them is just kicking and punching this gas station attendant. Go ahead and roll it again, Nicole. As she is trying to shield her face, she falls to the floor. I mean, I don't know if anybody's counted the number of times that he kicked and punched her in the face and then kicks her and stomps her while she's on the ground. Again, it looks to me like he's hurting her for the fun of it. That he's hurting her for the fun of it. That he's beating her for the fun of it. Because there's no other reason. They had her outnumbered. They had gone to all different locations in the store, pulling things off the shelves, filling up with whatever they could get. There's no way she could have stopped all of them. There was no reason, if the goal was just to go in there and steal things, to beat her senseless. But they did it anyway. Fox 13 spoke to the woman. And she, you know, the attack lasted 25 seconds, but even watching the video, it seems like it went on forever. And I can't even imagine what it was like from her perspective. So here's her talking to Fox 13.
At one point, I told him, "You can stop hitting me. I'm not fighting you." It didn't slow him down, though.
There was less than $100 in the till.
They were laughing. They had no disregard for anything. They don't care anymore.
You can see the others use the roughly 25 seconds to steal vapes from the cigarette case, clumsily dropping the majority of their haul on the way out.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it's just kids don't seem to fear anything anymore. They don't. There's like no repercussions for them the way there used to be.
Man. Leah Johnston is her name. Again, you heard from Fox 13, less than $100 in the till. They're in there trying to get vapes, a variety of other things. They're dropping most of it on the floor before they run out. The other detail that I think is really critical when we've been talking about, you know, the pattern here that has not only led to this, but has accelerated it. The suspects, all young black men, I believe, they arrived on scene driving a stolen Kia and a stolen Hyundai. Yeah, not a surprise. Not a surprise that they would show up in the store in stolen vehicles. Both of the vehicles were later recovered. Police are still looking for them. They've put out, you know, stills from surveillance video, but the kids, you know, had their hoods up, they had black masks over their face. Although I would argue, you know, looking at some of the stills that have been put out there by Crime Stoppers, that if you know the kids, you're going to be able to recognize them. Enough of their face is showing for that. But what she said there, I think, is really telling. And it speaks to what we've been saying is she said they were laughing. This kid is beating her senseless and he's laughing. And she's telling him, "I'm not fighting you. You don't have to hurt me. It's $100 in the till." And he's beating her senseless. And she says, it's like they don't fear repercussions. What have we been saying? All these examples of juveniles, whether it's in Enumclaw, down in Thurston County, it's not just a King County, Seattle problem, where they commit crimes, where they commit crimes that put people in danger, where they commit crimes where they hurt people, and judges put them right back out on the street. No, sometimes without any bail set whatsoever. No monetary promise to appear. In Enumclaw, what did we hear from the chief on the show the other day? That they have a group of kids, they know exactly who they are, that continue to steal cars, get arrested, and get kicked right back out on the street. One of the kids' parents is blaming the cops for the whole ordeal. I think there's a variety of factors going on here. And one of them is certainly the laws. And the messaging from the top down in the state, from the governor to state lawmakers who are pushing soft on criminal policies, who are setting up this generation of kids to say, you're the victim. Society and the way it's structured is designed to hold you down and to keep you down no matter what you do. So is it a wonder that these young people are reacting in this way? Well, if no matter what I do, I'm a victim because of the color of my skin, then why would I work hard? Why would I try hard? Why wouldn't I kick the system right back? The lawmakers are telling me I'm a victim. I'm a victim because of the color of my skin. I'm then trapped in victimhood. This is the mentality that our elected leaders are driving into, and I would argue the media, driving into these young people. And then on top of that, look, I believe that parents should be allowed to parent their kids, but what do you do when you have kids, parents like the ones in Enumclaw, where they're blaming the police that their kid was arrested for stealing cars? If the criminal justice system is failing and you've got judges that are failing to hold young people accountable, kicking them back on the streets, which is essentially saying, what you did isn't that bad. And then on top of that, young people have no repercussions at home. Might be a little bit different if judge cuts them loose, but they go home and they get their ass whooped. Sorry. Like, make spanking great again. But there were some sort of repercussions at home. But what happens when you have none of that? It used to be that if somebody was a bad parent, at least, you know, if a kid got arrested, then the system would teach them a lesson. But now you have none of that. And we're surprised. We're supposed to be surprised. We've created perpetual victims who believe there's nothing that they can do, no amount of work that they can put in. Society will continue to hold them down because that's what they're preached to at school. That's what they're preached to in the media. That's what politicians say. Politicians pass laws to make things easier. And that's what judges say if they eventually even wind up in front of a judge. And we're supposed to be surprised by this. by this blatant disregard for the rule of law, complete disregard for human life and the sanctity of life. Now, this story is obviously bad, and my heart breaks for this woman. And I was watching another clip where she was saying that, you know, you prepare for this as a gas station attendant, especially someone who works maybe overnights, you prepare for something like this, but you can never really be ready for it. And I imagine that that woman could never really prepare herself for what it would be like to be swarmed by six kids and have one of them beat her senseless while she's begging him to stop and him laughing in her face. So if it's possible to get worse, and again, I'm going to give you another warning, this one even more so for the video. This story is out of Vegas. So Andreas Probst, 64 years old, and he was the former police chief, a former police chief who had retired with a family. He was out for a morning bike ride. It's like 6 a.m. This happened on August 14th, but the video has come out now. And there was a 17-year-old driving a Hyundai, okay? And all of this is captured. The video I'm going to show you is actually from, I think there's two teens in the car. Is that correct, Nicole, or is there just the one?
There's at least two.
There's at least two.
One's videoing.
So one's videoing. Mm-hmm. And it's like they think they're in Grand Theft Auto. I mean, that's truly what it seems like. So when they're in this vehicle, and this is the headline from the New York Post. Footage shows teen driver appeared to deliberately hit and kill retired police chief. And it doesn't appear to show. I don't like that headline. It doesn't appear to show. It does show. It's clearly deliberate. I'm going to play the video for you.
All right, go. Go, go, go. Tip and move in.
So they hit a car. Tell him, do a pit remover. Do a pit maneuver. Pit him.
Fuck him on my butt.
Ready?
Yeah. Hit his ass.
It's hard to watch. New York Post appears to show he literally says, "You ready? Yeah, hit his ass." And then they pan to this man, this retired police chief who gave his life in service to other citizens, who's finally enjoying retirement, taking a bike ride at 6 a.m. And they pivot and they say, "Hit his ass. You ready?" And then they show him on the camera sitting there lifeless. It's one of the worst pieces of video that I've ever seen. And then we have politicians in this state and across this country who treat kids like that as the victims, who believe the system is being too hard on kids like that. And you think, what, that does them a favor? That kid's 17 years old. He's charged with murder now, as he should be. You think the coddling, the convincing them that they're the victims, that the world is out to get them, there's no amount of work they can do to pull themselves out of the situations that they're in, you believe that that's doing those kids a favor? Judges who see these kids come in front of them and say, "Oh, go home, no bail, don't worry about it," you think you're doing them a favor? You think you're improving their lives? You think you're improving their outcomes in life? You're fooling yourself. Two of the worst pieces of video I've ever seen in my life. And I cannot even imagine that man's family having to watch the absolute disregard that someone had for his life. This is, to me, the single biggest issue in America right now. The single biggest issue that we need to come together and figure out. Left, right, center, I don't care what political stripe you are. We need to figure out what's going on with our kids. And we need to make sure that kids of any skin color recognize that there is an American dream out there for them, that we're not going to convince them that everything they do, they're going to be held down and they're going to be held back, because then you're giving them no hope in life. You're giving them no hope or nothing to look forward to because you're telling them that no matter what they do to better their circumstances, everyone is out to get them. I think that's a starting point. But this is, if we don't figure this out as a country, I don't know where we're going to be in 10 years. And in Washington State, we need to put judges in place that understand that springing these kids out isn't going to do anything for them. It's not going to do anything for society. And we need to replace politicians who are pushing soft on crime policies. You know, the kids who beat that Normandy Park attendant, the kid who beat her to a pulp, you know, showing up there in two stolen vehicles. And yet we still have state lawmakers who want to preach to us that their laws they put in place haven't contributed to that environment. A lot of these violent crimes are happening with stolen vehicles. And you have, I remember very well back in the legislative session, Democratic lawmakers who were standing on the floor giving speeches about how, well, you know, my vehicle's not worth as much as someone's life. So I don't want police to chase someone in a stolen vehicle. I'm willing to give up my vehicle so that person isn't hurt in a police chase. Okay, but people are going on to use those vehicles to commit crimes like this. And you know it, and I don't know why you're ignoring it. So anyway, again, grotesque video. I mean, just absolutely heartbreaking stuff, but there's something going on in this country with youth. If we don't prioritize it right now, we aren't going to have a country to be proud of anymore. All right, coming up next, on our segment Unbelievable, the government will not stop trying to justify and spin the findings of this UW study around widespread meth and fentanyl contamination on public transportation. It's pretty remarkable. However, the authors of that study are now pushing back at how it is being spun by the government. You're going to want to hear what they have to say. But first, we've been talking about our friend Wes Jones, a wonderful real estate agent in our area. He and his team have a lot of tools that you can utilize as a home seller that you're not going to find elsewhere. One of them is the Listing Boost Concierge Service, where they can come in, they can handle any updates you might need to make to your house before you put it on the market. They can even help you pay for it up front. Susan in Federal Way used that service when she went to sell her home of 25 years.
I knew I had to paint. I knew I needed to get new flooring. I needed to get new lighting. I told him up front that I was very interested, that I did not have the time or the finances to do what needed to be done. And he immediately jumped in with, well, I do. Work started immediately. And I would say in 2 to 3 weeks, they had landscaping done. They had all the painting done. The new floors were put in. All the lighting was put in. It just was all so fast. And the rest is history. It was on the market for 7 days. I was able to get well over listing price.
To be specific, Susan got 20 offers, sold it for 15% over list price, and ended up getting $200,000 more than an investor offered her before the renovations. Man, that was a $200,000 phone call to Wes Jones with Wes Jones & Associates. So if you're in the market to sell your home, maybe you're just at the precipice of considering putting your home on the market, visit sellwithwes.com. You can start by using their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. And while you're at it, you can ask them about the Listing Boost Concierge Service if you think it's something you might be interested in using. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. The authors of a study at the University of Washington that tested and found widespread meth and fentanyl contamination on public transportation are now pushing back against government officials who are trying to downplay the findings of their study. Let's get to it in our segment, Unbelievable. Right, we've done a couple stories and follow-ups now on this study that was done by the University of Washington. They went to multiple public transit agencies across Western Washington and one in Portland. They did swabs of seats. They did swabs of steering wheels. They took swabs of the air, and they found, which would be a surprise to no one who's ever been on public transportation or listened to any stories about what's happening on public transportation, they found widespread drug contamination. 100% of air samples, they found meth. 98% of surface samples, they found meth. And they also found a lot of fentanyl residue. And for any common sense person, you're like, well, that's not good. That can't be good for the people who are riding the buses. That certainly can't be good for the people who are driving the buses 40 hours a week. Yet after that study came out, even I was surprised by the level of gaslighting from the government. I'm thinking, this is a study from UW. Surely King County's not going to try to spin the study from UW that had such definitive findings about the amount of contamination. But they did, and King County Metro came out, and they had this, like, crazy tweet that was basically saying, oh, it continues to be safe for the public. I'm thinking, that's what you pulled out of that research? And it continues to get worse. So Seattle City Councilman Teresa Mosqueda, who is running for King County Council, by the way, so keep that in mind, because she will be on ballots for King County individuals in November. She was speaking during a meeting of the Public Safety Committee in the Seattle City Council, and they were talking about this new debate over a drug possession ordinance. However, she brought up this very issue, and she, like other King County government officials, is claiming that it is misinformation to suggest that widespread drug contamination on public transit is dangerous.
Many people, including today, have commented on secondhand smoke and fentanyl smoke being an example of where they felt their own physical health was in danger. I want to point to the fact that our King County Public Health Department has had a recent question and answer session with the director of the Washington Poison Control Center to dispel this myth, when in fact, secondhand fentanyl smoke, according to the King County Public Health Department, continues to show that bystanders who breathe in secondhand smoke are not physically at risk.
Oh, who would have thought? Bystanders who breathe in secondhand smoke from opioid use, from fentanyl, from meth, not at risk. Oh, well, I'll certainly rely on the word of a Seattle City Council member, but she does point to King County Public Health. So let's hear what public health officials had to say on the matter.
From the public health perspective, the risk is minimal to negligible, both to operators as well as riders.
Oh, well, Teresa Mosqueda, the Seattle City Councilwoman, says there is no risk. And man, King County Public Health says there's really no risk to operators and to riders. So I guess, you know, their word really matters. Who else's word would matter more? Well, how about what the authors and the researchers of the actual UW study had to say about comments that people's health is not actually in jeopardy?
It is not accurate in the perspective of the UW researchers to state that the air is safe or the transit environment is risk-free for the operators who could experience long-term chronic exposure to these drugs at work.
Yeah. Even the researchers who conducted this study are basically saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, King County Public Health? What are you talking about, politician Teresa Mosqueda? What are you talking about, King County Metro? Our study doesn't say that there's no risk. Their study, in fact, said, and it was very clear from the beginning, that they do not know the long-term implications of this because it was not a study that looked at the long-term implications. So no politician, no county health official has any evidence at their disposal to claim that widespread fentanyl and meth contamination on our public transportation isn't a risk. And in fact, Como News spoke to bus drivers who said they have experienced health impacts when people have been using illicit drugs on their vehicles.
I have twice been taken off the bus because of headaches, nausea, aggression.
I just know I get really, really bad headaches from this exposure.
Yeah, because that's common sense. Common sense tells us that if you're sitting in there breathing in fentanyl or meth, and it's not a drug you typically use, yeah, that might impact your health. So my question is to people who've been pushing back against what we've been saying about this is, who do you believe? Do you believe politicians when they say, oh, it's fine, illegal drug use around you, totally fine? Do you believe King County Public Health that pushed all sorts of wild stuff? Do you believe the entity that during the pandemic told people that they could continue to have sex with strangers as long as they did it through a shower curtain and cut a glory hole in it? Do you believe that entity when it comes to what is and is not safe for you? Or do you believe the researchers at the University of Washington who actually conducted the analysis? Or do you believe the bus drivers who sit on those buses, who sit on those trains for 8 hours a day, sometimes longer, who have personally experienced negative health impacts from breathing in the smoke of these illicit drugs?
I know who I believe, and I know what common sense tells me. And one has to wonder and one has to question what the motivations are of politicians, of government bureaucrats, to try to convince you that it's okay to be around illegal drug use. I want you to genuinely ask yourself that. What would their motivations be for trying to push a narrative to you and to us that is so blatantly false? It's truly, truly unbelievable. All right, coming up next, a story of a veteran who came to an event last week where it was put on by our friends at Future 42, where they dropped the gas prices to the national average. And there was some comments from a veteran who showed up to take advantage of those lower gas prices that, to me, really underscores why we have been so adamant about getting to the truth on the cause of Washington's high gas prices. We'll have that coming up next. But first, we've been talking about our friends at First Mark Insurance. Mike and I are now members of the First Mark family. We took the First Mark challenge in the spring. Now all of our insurance, everything, our house, both of our vehicles, gosh, everything down to my ring insurance is now taken care of by First Mark. What the First Mark challenge is you come to them with all your current insurance. You talk to them about your insurance needs. Maybe you need to save a little money. Maybe you just need better insurance. And they're going to go out. They're going to shop the market for you. They're going to do it for free. And they're going to present you with their findings. And you get to decide, do I want to have my insurance handled by First Mark moving forward or not? Here's Dave Taylor. He's the CEO of First Mark.
We believe and we say that we will help 100% of the people that we work with. Okay. Now that doesn't mean necessarily that 100% of the people we work with are going to become First Mark clients, but we believe that we will actually help 100% of the people, whether that be stay with your current carrier, but let's modify your coverage a bit so you're better protected, or ultimately, hopefully come over to First Mark. We're going to put you with a different company and give you better coverage, right? So the challenge is really challenging individuals to give us an opportunity to prove that to them. That's really what the First Mark challenge is.
Yeah, and then you take that information and you get to decide what to do with it from there. I've heard from people who First Mark told, your insurance is pretty good. You really don't need us. And I think that's a good measure of an honest company. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com, they work for you. All right, the next segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. As you know, I'm a Future 42 ambassador, and I think this story really illustrates why. You know, Future 42 put on an event last week with Americans for Prosperity. We told you all about it. It was on Wednesday, and for a two-hour period of time at a gas station in Kent, they dropped the price per gallon of regular gasoline to the national average, which was $3.82, and it kind of looked, it was very stunning to see the marquee of 382 because we haven't been there in so long. And they had people lining up more than an hour in advance to be able to take advantage of that lower gas price. And they had, according to the gas station, more people come through for gasoline in that two-hour period than they did in previous 24-hour periods. So the event was very successful in that sense. But I also hear that, and it makes me a little bit sad. Because you're talking about people who are taking a huge chunk of time out of their day to be able to fill up their tank at a lower price, about $1.50 lower, a little more than that, depending on where you're at. And to me, that really indicates how big of an impact those gas prices, those high gas prices have on working class individuals who, investing 2 hours of their day to sit in line, that's worth it for them because they are operating really on the margins when it comes to their budget. And there was a piece of video. So Simon Sefcik, a former state lawmaker who's now a director for Future 42, he went down there and we would have loved to go down, but it was right before our show, during our show prep. And he took some video and did some interviews with people who had shown up to take advantage of the lower gas prices. And one of them was with a veteran. And what he said about why he came really struck me. Watch.
My name's Corey Rube.
And Corey, why are you here today?
I'm very stretched in my income. I'm a disabled veteran and living on a limited income. Have a hard time affording gas, food, rent, and the other increases. I've really been knocked flat over the last 18 months by the raise in prices. And this additional carbon tax they've added to fuel has hurt me bad and had to limit the amount of volunteer work I can do because I can't afford transportation.
And Corey, which branch did you serve in?
U.S. Army, 28 years. I spent 5 years in Iraq on 4 different deployments.
Yeah. When I heard his story, I couldn't help but immediately think, it's people like him who the government and who Jay Inslee has been lying to about all of this. And that really, really bothers me. You know, we go back to when the cap and trade program was being discussed and debated and then eventually passed. And there were so many warnings about, hey, you know, this is going to increase gas prices pretty significantly. And Governor Inslee denied that. He denied it up to the point where those increases manifested and he couldn't deny it anymore. And then who did he blame? He blamed greedy gas and oil companies. And he didn't accept an ounce of responsibility for himself. And so when I think about, you know, people like this veteran who showed up, waited, said, hey, I'm stretched thin. It's hard for me to afford things like food and groceries, and I can't spend as much time volunteering because the gas prices are so high and it costs a lot of money to get from point A to point B. It genuinely makes me madder than I've ever been that our state leaders wouldn't come out and just acknowledge from the very beginning, hey, this program is going to raise costs at the pump. And we want you to know that. We want to be transparent about it. And we want to, I don't know, defend why we think it's necessary. But they couldn't even do that. And now you have people who are really, really, truly struggling. And that's what bothers me, I think, more than anything else. And he made a good point, you know. And let me actually play the rest of that, where Simon Sefcik asked him, is there anything you'd say to state lawmakers who supported this policy?
So they should take mercy on the citizens of Washington State, especially people with lower or fixed incomes, the elderly, the disabled, who need transportation to get to the hospital, to get to the grocery store, and that all of our food and other essentials come by trucks that also pay these taxes. It hurts us far more than the wealthy or people entitled like politicians.
And you have Democrats that talk a lot about how, you know, they feel like they're the party of the lower class. They're the party of the working class. And I couldn't help but wonder, well, what, you know, why aren't you acknowledging then that a policy like this is hurting those individuals more? And that's really what it is doing. And so I find myself after that Future 42 event just being a little angry and a little disappointed and honestly a little sad to see how many people were lining up to try to take advantage of those lower gas prices, and then to hear some of the stories and to realize that, gosh, and then you have politicians who push these policies who can't even be bothered to tell the truth about them. And that's really bothersome to me. All right, that segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. I had a day today. I'll talk about it before we get into questions and comments, because my Monday morning of my wedding week was very dramatic, but I'll get into that coming up. Okay, let's get into national news. I don't know if you guys saw that Trump did a couple interviews. He did one with Kristen Welker over at NBC, and he did one with Megyn Kelly. And there have been a lot of headlines that came out of those interviews, and one of them had to do with his comments about Florida's abortion law. So let's listen.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15 weeks?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that goes
too far? I think what
he
did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
And this is really interesting because it, to me, okay, first of all, I think it would be a huge, huge mistake for Republicans heading into 2024 to try to chip away at access to abortions. I mean, look at what happened in 2022. I think losses by Republicans when they were set up for success is almost entirely attributable to what happened with Roe v. Wade. And so I think it would be really dumb to make this an election issue heading into 2024. I also think that Trump has always been interesting on this particular issue related to abortion. But sometimes my trouble with Trump and with the DeSantis-Trump feud is I feel like Trump disagrees with DeSantis at this point just to disagree with him. And I have a really hard time navigating what he actually doesn't like about DeSantis or what DeSantis supports, and what he just claims not to like about DeSantis and what DeSantis supports, just because of the sort of feud and the personal sort of grudge and vendetta. Now, I happen to agree that, you know, my personal opinion, banning abortions that early in the stage is wrong. I think it's very wrong. I think most women wouldn't even have any clue that they were pregnant at that period of time. And I also think any sort of national abortion ban, I would hope that Republicans, any Republican, would be flat out against it. And here's why. Republicans fought to get this issue, conservatives fought to get this issue to the states. That's where it's at now. And frankly, that's where it belongs. I don't understand why, after that long fight to get the issue kicked back to the states for states to decide, why conservatives and Republicans would then push to have it again be a federal issue that would again keep this, because then you can have another party in power and then they can change it federally. To me, having it with the states has always been not only the legally correct ruling, because I don't believe that our Constitution had any protections for abortion, so I think it's the legally sound ruling in that case for the U.S. Supreme Court. But it also, to me, is the only way to make sense of an issue that's so divisive, is that rather than have a rule nationally that 50% of people are going to hate and 50% of people are going to love, and something that could flip back and forth on an issue that's so critical, you let the states decide. And you have a patchwork of abortion laws across the country. And if abortion is truly a very important hinge issue for you, then you can move. And I hate to put it that way, but doesn't that make a lot more sense than a one-size-fits-all approach? No, you can move. You can move if that is the issue that is going to dictate whether you're going to be able to feel happy and secure in the state that you're living in. So I don't like the wish-washing on whether you would sign a federal abortion ban. To me, if you're true to conservative principles, this is an issue that I think you should feel comfortable leaving up to the states. One more story I had to fit in National today, because, oh, did I watch this video 150 times? Nicole, have you seen the video before we play it?
Yes,
I've seen it. Oh my gosh.
It's pretty silly.
First of all, Lauren Boebert is not fit for Congress. I think that we have allowed the complete erosion of decorum in Congress. I think our standards have gotten so low for who we send to Congress, who we send to the presidency for that matter. And first of all, how she conducts herself in public is, to me, not in keeping with the standards of someone who should be in Congress. And she's far from the only congressperson who I feel that way about, by the way. I'm not singling her out. But anyway, she's a Republican House member from Colorado. And she was at a show of, was it Wicked? No, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay, she was at a show of Beetlejuice. Here's the headline from NBC News. Lauren Boebert was escorted out of Beetlejuice show in Denver for allegedly causing a disturbance. Boebert and a companion, male companion, were asked to leave over alleged behavior involving vaping, singing, and causing a disturbance. And attendees had apparently complained. So anyway, Boebert had come out after just the initial headlines and reports and says, well, I wasn't vaping. And, you know, she blames the people there and the people at the venue. And then turns out there's surveillance video in, you know, showing her and her male companion very clearly. It's got to be like night vision of some kind. And it very clearly shows that indeed she was doing more than just vaping. And this video is funny because it's actually from a guy named Kyle Clark, and he's a host at the NBC station in Colorado, and they got their hands on this surveillance video, and I just found the writing on it to be very, very creative.
Boebert, Boebert, Boebert. Say it three times and she appears in security video from a weekend performance of Beetlejuice, where the congresswoman was kicked out of the theater for being disruptive. The DCPA says she was vaping. Boebert's team denied that, said the haze was from fog machines in the show. That claim goes up in smoke when you see the video. The pregnant woman sitting behind Boebert told the Denver Post she asked her to stop vaping, and Boebert refused. Her one-woman show continued, taking flash photos, raising her hands and dancing, often the only one clapping or standing up in the crowd. Boebert occasionally took a break from being disruptive to enjoy the company of her male companion. He briefly had a grasp on the situation before ushers returned and told Boebert she had to leave. The theater's incident report says Boebert pulled the "Don't you know who I am" card on the way out, giving theater employees the single finger salute.
Okay, first of all, was that not good writing?
It's very
good. That's good writing. But when he goes, her male companion briefly had a grasp on the situation. He was fondling her breasts. Like, very obviously, the surveillance video is just right on them. And she's clearly vaping, you know, to have claimed that it was like some sort of smoke
fog
from the
machine.
It's just like, and then again, a sitting member of Congress, she flips him the bird as she's leaving.
Right. And I mean, the flash photography, I mean, you're not supposed to take out your phone at all during those performances.
No, but that's like
and
the least concerning
pictures,
thing.
No, I know, but I mean, that would have drawn attention. I'm surprised that didn't get picked up on earlier.
Well, she clearly doesn't care if they're drawing attention. Like, there's some voyeurism there. And I have to laugh at any Republicans defending her on social media. You think for 1 second that you defend a Democratic member of Congress who is in there vaping with a pregnant person behind them, who is letting her male companion fondle her ha-hoo-hees? Can I say boobies, you know?
Were there people defending her?
Oh, yeah. Like, there's always.
I mean, I know that
they'll
defend.
Always. I don't know if anybody whatever, important, but, like, of, yeah. Like, I mean, everybody's important.
That's
I don't
ridiculous.
Know if anyone, like, in Congress is defending her. But it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous behavior. And again, it just continues the erosion of the standards of the people who go to the People's House in Washington, D.C. and represent us. But they have to laugh sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's obviously ridiculous, but it was, the video and the writing were.
I'm guessing that vape pen wasn't nicotine.
Oh, you think it was the devil's lettuce, do you?
Maybe.
Chest confetti?
That's why, I mean, you don't act like that and.
I don't know if weed makes you act like that either.
Well, you have to have some influence. So either you had
maybe she took a King County Metro bus there.
You had,
maybe she took a Metro bus and she got some secondhand meth exposure. Anyway, good times.
It's pretty ridiculous, and especially when she pulls the "Do you know who I am?" part.
Ugh. Yeah.
And the poor pregnant lady behind her.
She's like, "Excuse me, ma'am." It's just like, nope.
Please don't vape.
Oh, my gosh. Good times.
Okay. I love the denial, though, with the fog machine.
Yeah, that was a fog machine. Oh, it's so good. I hate vapes, by the way. Oh, when I just, whenever I see someone sucking on one of those things, I'm just like, that's so gross.
I know. But
it's better than cigarettes.
It's better. Affects me less.
Yeah.
I'm like, anyway. You want to do that to your lungs.
Oh,
keep it away from mine.
All right, before we get to questions and comments, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I've just been preaching the program. I started the program around this time last year, down 35 pounds. Although I think the stress of the wedding has me dropping some weight this week because I stepped on the scale and I guess if you included it today, I'm down 37 pounds because like in 1 day I lost 2 pounds and I think it's the stress of just being high metabolism.
Well, I've also created seen your meals that you're
well, I had a nice healthy salad with some chicken.
You're being very good so that you can... feel good.
Right, exactly. But regardless, I feel great. I'm so glad I started the program when I did, truly. I mean, I've done probably every weight loss, crash, fad diet in my life. I wasn't born skinny. I have to work at it. And this has been a program that to me, not only have I had fantastic results on, but I've kept it off now for some time. And so it's certainly something I recommend just scheduling a consultation to ask about if you've been hearing these ads and you've been thinking I should really do that. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. If you schedule the 15-minute consultation, you can do it from anywhere. You can do the whole program virtually if you'd like to. And you can ask Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team any questions you have about it before you fully commit. But again, don't wait a day longer. You start now, you could be looking better, feeling better by the holidays to see family and friends. So now's a great time to start. All right, we have some super chats, one from Thursday. From Myrin Valona.
A bunch of letters.
All squished together. keep up the good work, Brandy. Thank you. That is a really nice reason to give us $19.99. Appreciate it. Bill Biz, $20 super chat. Brandy, excellent interview with Billboard Chris. His mild-mannered, factual approach is pretty compelling. I would hope that he considers enlisting a little private security at some point. I think he has on occasion. If you haven't subscribed to the show, we had on a Canadian dad turned activist who's known as Billboard Chris, has a massive social media following, and he travels across the country wearing this human billboard that talks about kids can't consent to gender hormones And he really was very mild-mannered and fact-based in his conversation about why he thinks the U.S. will eventually ban not only gender hormone therapy, but transition surgery for minors. So I definitely recommend going to check that Sunday interview out. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. If you want to become a subscriber, we do Sundays with subscribers every week. All right, Leah, on the issue with the youth violence, I mean, not just any youth violence, horrendous, egregious acts, homicide. I mean, you know, what happened in Normandy Park, just unreal. Leah says, this is the mentality of the schools too, telling kids they are victims or oppressors. Exactly. You've got adults at every stage of your life telling you, you're a victim. The system is structured to keep you down. What do you think that does to a kid's mind? Do you think they're going to be like, okay, well, I'll just work extra, extra hard to try to dig myself out of the situation I'm in? No, they're going to give up for the love. Independent Men United says accountability for these criminals and for the representatives who are allowing all this BS. Yes, and the ultimate accountability for them is on the ballot. Lolly Wilson says lock them up. This is outrageous. These kids know they won't get punished. Fergie wants no youth jails. Parents not being parents. Children are allowed to run and do as they please. And who wants to bet? I mean, Las Vegas is a little bit different. The climate's there a little bit different than here. But I'm sure there are people who are going to be like, he's 17, he's a minor. Don't try him as an adult. No, he callously took someone's life and acted like he was in a video game.
So there was an incident here that happened in Edumclaw or Maple Valley that a man got hit riding a bicycle and he, or running, jogging, I think, and he died as well.
That
it was a teen.
Familiar.
Yeah, and it was a teen. It was a teen that hit him, and it was on purpose and all of that, but then they ended up taking her to court. And I don't know the outcome now. I'm not even sure if the outcome is quite official yet or if it's been settled. But they ended up saying that it wasn't, like, she did it, but she didn't know that it would kill him necessarily in this. And in this video, at the very end, they go, oh, look, we knocked him out. Like, it was almost like they didn't mean to, or they're going to use that to say they didn't mean to kill him.
Doesn't matter. Just
wanted to knock him out or hurt him or whatever. And then that'll probably lessen the punishment, right? And
one
it's very frustrating because they are reckless, obviously. They do not care about life or hurting somebody or anything else.
And there's so many factors that go into that. But okay, Chris says WTF is wrong with people. Vigilante justice is around the corner and this world isn't ready for it. I hear that a lot. And that does terrify me. I don't want some stranger deciding whether what I did is worthy of, you know, my life being taken away. But at the same time, with the government emboldening criminals, having no repercussions for them, people who are victimized over and over and over, what are people supposed to do? Just sit back and take it? I don't know if that's reasonable either. And so that does scare me too, Chris. I think about it often. On the buses and the study that just won't, this is bothering me so deeply. Because it's like, do you think we're stupid? Do you think we're stupid? How stupid do you have to think
I
we are
think they do think
to tell us
are
that
stupid.
It's okay to be around somebody smoking meth or fentanyl? You actually do have to think that we are very, very dumb, or that people will vote for you just because you have a D next to your name, which is also probably the case. Todd Welch says the UW study should now push for investigations into how the drugs on public transit affect workers and riders. And that has to be the second stage. And we'll follow up with the UW researchers today because that seems like, you know, test their hair, figure out, is there any sort of long-term implications? Follow what's happening to them medically to look for any patterns, et cetera. Tracy said, we have some seriously shameless politicians in the state. Seriously shameless. And these, Teresa Mosqueda positions herself as a union champion for union workers. What about the bus drivers? You don't care. What about the bus drivers? They just have to sit there and take it because you are that committed to excusing illegal substance use? So you're prioritizing. You think you're a champion of unions. You're prioritizing criminals ahead of hardworking union members who are just trying to do their job for 40 hours a week and not die or not get sick. So you tell me if you're really a champion for unions. Ridiculous. Grass CPA says breathing in secondhand drug fumes is not a danger, but breathing... I'll give the snort jar money later. Breathing in secondhand drug fumes is not dangerous, but breathing in COVID air is bad and you should be masked.
Right. Interesting.
Sounds about right. All right. on Trump, Janelle says, I couldn't care less about his behaviors with DeSantis or his past or whatever petty else crap to do with him. He doesn't affect me in my life, only my daily living. And when he was the president, life was easier. Yeah, I get that. I hear that argument a lot.
I actually think the extended version of that interview was interesting because he's kind of saying what she wants him to say, but then he's not being direct with it. And so she keeps pushing him to get direct. But then they keep kind of saying the same thing because he says, I think there's a compromise somewhere in there. And he's saying, I don't want a ban. That's what he's saying. Yeah. And then, but I don't agree with this either. You know, like they're somewhere in the middle. And then when he says some people want, you know, to kill babies, like at the very end of and she goes, nobody wants to do that. Well, yeah, that is the extreme. So if you're going to say there's this extreme,
right,
there is this extreme as well. And you have to like come together in the middle. But she keeps kind of focusing on some of his inability to be direct. But that's a politician. Like that's the way they always
answer. Yeah, but I think that you do need to push people to be more direct on issues like that, not sort of talk around it. Because by now, his position is formed on abortion. I mean, I don't think you run for the president and not have a fully formed position on abortion. I get not wanting to alienate. It's such a divisive issue. Yeah. But I agree with journalists wanting to pin somebody down on their position.
I mean, that's your job.
But like, it is your job. I also want to note, before we read more comments, I meant to note this off the beginning. If you're a subscriber on Locals, for some reason their page was down this morning, so you probably didn't get the link there, but hopefully you're able to find us on YouTube and we'll work to... it's a Locals issue. It wasn't an us issue, so I will blame Locals for that one. What was that?
Did you snort?
Yeah, and then I said I'll pay the snort jar.
Oh, I missed it.
Nicole doesn't listen to what I say. Nicole
sometimes
doesn't even pay
I'm
attention to me.
I miss the snort.
So anyway, people on Locals, we didn't forget about you. There's an upload issue with Locals today, so we are working on it. On the wedding, Linda says, I wish you the very best in your upcoming marriage. The best advice I can give you after 44 years of marriage is don't sweat the small stuff. Pick your fights. If it won't matter a year from now, it's not worth a fight. I think that's good.
I know. And aren't you going to ask for advice this week?
Yeah.
Isn't that our plan?
Send your advice in, and we'll do one piece of wedding advice every day. So that's my piece of wedding advice for today. Should I say what happened to me this morning?
I think so.
I'll abbreviate it. If I seemed flustered off the top of the show, it's because I didn't get here until like 45 minutes before the show and Nicole had to do everything. I left my house this morning. I went to bring some extra bridal lace to the florist to wrap around my bridal bouquet. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving just happy as a clam, like, it's my wedding week. Nothing's going to bother me. And then I get this ding, ding. And it says I have a low tire pressure on one of my tires. It's like, no big deal. I'm an adult. I pulled into a gas station. I'll fill it up. That's fine. I know. I'm like, I'm not even going to cry. It's fine. It's just a low tire. No issues. It wasn't like dangerously low. Like
you
it was
need
flat.
A man for that.
Right? Don't need a man. So I go there and I go to use this little, it's one of the auto ones where you just put money in and then you put the hose in and it fills it to the PSI that you set, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, set it at 35 PSI, adult, got this handled, paid. And I start to pump up. I'm like, I'm going to even out all my tires. Why just one? I'm going to do them all. I'm going to get them all at 35. So the thing goes, you know, and I get it in there. And I'm like, this just doesn't feel right. I've filled up my tires with air before. I'm like, something's weird. So anyway, I go around to all of them. And then I go back and I look in my car and it tells me the PSI of my tires, my little dash, right? Sorry, this story's really long. And it says they're all at 18, 17, 16.
They're dropping.
And then I look and my tires are like looking kind of flat. All of them now. I'm like, what the heck? I said, that the little thing just let air out of my tires. So I'm like, am I just a moron? I don't know how to do this. And then I go inside, get the gas station attendant. They come out, were nice enough to help me. I swipe the card again, like, okay, let's get this fixed. They do it and they're like, wait, no, this is letting the air out of your tires. I was like, what's going on? So anyway, I call Mike and now I'm like, and he goes, just drive slow to the nearest Les Schwab. They'll figure it out. So here I am riding on four flats, basically, going 15 miles an hour down the road. It's a 50 mile an hour zone. I got my emergency flashers on.
Yep.
Like a, you know, functioning hazard adult because I'm going 15 miles an hour. People are coming up on my butt. They're like, bah, bah, da, da. I'm like, what other indication can I give you that I am having a situation?
And everyone has been there.
Right. And so anyway, I'm trying to pull over, like wave them past, you know? So then I get there and I'm thinking, wow, I'm really just a moron. Like this was a me issue. Car issues stress me out, running late for the show. And then the guy at Les Schwab's like, let me look at this. And he said that it was the weirdest little air, what he called, you know, where you put the air in. He said it's the strangest one he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was some aftermarket thing, so he had to go get a little attachment for his air hose. So it wasn't me.
So do you have tires from some random aftermarket place?
I think it's because my rims were the wheels.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so that's what happened. But I am happy to report that my car is parked with 35 PSI tires, and yeah. I made it in. And we did a show.
And you know, Les Schwab. If you need...
I do love Les... First of all, I know they're not a show sponsor. I do love Les Schwab.
Oh, no, they're amazing.
Because mm-hmm. they were... And he was so nice, and he didn't make me feel stupid.
Yep.
And I don't know if he made up the... Maybe he just said that it was a weird one just so I'd feel better. But he's like, no, this is a strange one. And I was like, oh, thank goodness it's not me. Because I was feeling really dumb and really stressed out. And that is the first thing that happened to me on my wedding week.
The last time I went to Les Schwab, they pulled the handle of a knife out of my tire. My tire all of a sudden just started flattening, and apparently there was a handle of like a switchblade in my tire. And so he pulls it out, and he's like, this is really cool. This is going in my collection. And he pulls out this jar of all the weird stuff they've found in tires.
Did you do someone dirty?
It was on I-5. No, it was on I-5.
Did you wrong a man? He came in. He's like, eh. Okay. All right, anyway. So that
was
my story.
I'm glad you made it here okay. And I'm sure that is like rain on your wedding day. It's good luck.
Don't talk about rain on my wedding day.
It's good luck.
Anyway, we got to move on. We got to get going. Okay. All right, before we get to our closing sanity check, we added Bulwark Capital and Zach Abraham as a sponsor to the podcast last week. And right now, I think looking and making sure that your portfolio is positioned to be able to survive this state of the economy and the ups and downs is key. And the reason we started with Bulwark Capital in the middle of a month is because coming up on the 28th, they have a live webinar where you can make sure that you're well positioned for retirement. It's free. It's on Thursday, September 28th. You can learn their risk management strategy. You can learn about their active management of portfolios, how to lower volatility, et cetera, and just weather this crazy storm that we're in. So their 2023 risk management strategy free webinar next Thursday, September 28th. It starts at 3 p.m. You can sign up by going to Know Your Risk Radio, knowyourriskradio.com. All right, let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? There was a piece of video of all the disturbing things that came across my timeline that made me laugh a little bit. And then I realized that it's a really insane thing that videos like this are so common that they make me chuckle. So in case you haven't seen it, this was a Como News photographer who just happened to be in Ballard and happens to see some dude dragging a giant tree down the roadway. Nicole, can you play this?
Just checking, you weren't parking the tree there, were you?
The photographer goes to him, just checking, you're not parking the tree there, are you? This guy's got ropes around the tree trunk so he can leverage it and pull it down the street. And then he pulls it in front of a building, right where cars are supposed to park, and he starts, with a saw, hacking it into pieces.
Which makes me think that he's the one that cut it down. So he just took down a tree somewhere.
He 100% cut the tree down. And then he sits there and starts limbing it. I think it's in front of a bank, I believe.
Yeah.
The thing is that these types of scenes have become so normal that
people are just going about their day.
In any other city in America, you'd see a guy hauling a tree down the street, cutting it apart in front of a bank and be like, somebody call the cops out here? Cops didn't come.
If that was in any other city...
It's like, oh, yeah, guy dragging the tree down the road.
A decorative tree.
Normal day. Normal stuff. And that is how insane things have truly gotten. All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. You should start to receive your merch orders soon. Let us know if you get them. And send us pictures, by the way, so I can use you as free models to sell more merchandise. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. If you have not become a subscriber already, help us grow this mission and this movement to give common sense a comeback. We will see you back on the live show tomorrow at noon. Hopefully no car trouble on the way. It is hot in here.